Hi, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Wednesday, the 5th of September. Who is Fred Thompson and what does he stand for? We'll learn a lot more about Fred Thompson this hour and, of course, over the next year as he announces at midnight on Thursday that he is entering the presidential race. The expectations for him are huge. National polls of Republican voters put Fred Thompson in second place behind Giuliani and ahead of Romney and McCain. He has not yet taken part in any of the Republican debates and will miss tonight's debate. He will appear instead on the Tonight Show. A political scientist at Vanderbilt University in Nashville said there's really no clear Republican front runner, and he, Fred Thompson, continues to do reasonably well in the polls, so he has a shot. He will be, according to advisors, addressing themes that he's been discussing in some appearances, a sharper focus on national security, fiscal discipline, a desire to refocus on core Republican principles, immigration reform, limited government, and federalism. I can't tell you how many times, though, in doing programs, and we do a lot of political shows, the adjective laziness has been ascribed to Fred Thompson. Whether or not that's fair or not, we'll ask our guest because it's a grueling campaign. Is he up for it is the question. What exactly does he stand for? Our guest is associate editor of the Weekly Standard. Matthew Continetti is with us, and he is also the author of Can This Party Be Saved? How Money, Power, and Influence Have Corrupted the GOP. And also, Matt's the author of The K Street Gang, The Rise and Fall of the Republican Machine. We'll be welcoming phone calls. I'm sure that we'll get quite a few of them, as this story will be big news today and tomorrow. 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, it is 414-227-2050, 414-227-2050 for you to join our conversation. Hello, Matt. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Sky high expectations for this guy. Boy, they are big, aren't they?
There's no question that Fred Thompson enters the race with a lot of questions asked about his candidacy. I guess the largest question looming is, can he compete in a crowded field? It's already crowded in terms of presidential contenders. And it's also crowded with three candidates, Rudy Giuliani, Mitt Romney, and John McCain, who have been doing this for a long time. They've been in the race of, Romney really since last year. McCain, since 2004, has been plotting his return to presidential politics. Giuliani, the most recent entrant, but of course, he's been the Republican frontrunner since last year, according to national public opinion polls. So all those three guys have been doing this for a while. And so the question for Fred Thompson is, can he get in at this late date and compete with those guys who have been doing it?
Why do you think he waited so long, Matt?
Well, I don't think waiting for Fred Thompson has hurt his prospective candidacy. He continues to run second in a national public opinion polls of Republican primary voters. He's in second as well in Florida and South Carolina. He's a close third in the early caucus state of Iowa. So not running for Fred Thompson has proved a pretty successful strategy.
Yeah,
so
that's
far.
True. That's true. What do you think of this strategy of doing the Jay Leno show tonight instead of doing the Republican debate? Maybe it's just smart on his part because he's going to have a huge audience with Jay Leno and probably not all that many people except you and me and a lot of people like us will watch the debate.
Well, throughout the summer, the Thompson campaign strategists have said that they're going to do a different sort of presidential campaign. They acknowledge that they don't have much time. You know, with these advanced primaries and caucuses, we're going to have voting in the first 10 days of January 2008 to determine the Republican nominee. That gives any candidate, or all the candidates now have 4 months, basically, to make their case to voters that they should be the Republican nominee in 2008. Fred Thompson has that window is much more important to Thompson because he hasn't been making that case strongly in any sense for the entire year, as many of the other gentlemen have. So it's an open question about waiting, whether it will work out in the end. But at the same time, he seems to be fine going into this campaign. In terms of the Tonight Show, of course, this is a great media strategy for the rollout of the Thompson campaign. It means that he's dominating the news today.
Right.
He's going to dominate the news tomorrow, and probably he'll dominate the news cycle and going into the weekend. So that's a good media strategy. The question is, what next?
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is that media strategy is going to run up right against September 10, next Monday. That's when General Petraeus and Ambassador Crocker will be addressing Congress. So the debate will immediately switch back from the presidential campaign to Iraq. Those are the two stories that have dominated the news in 2007. But it will be Iraq. So the question is then, what does Thompson do to build on what should be a very good media rollout this week?
Right. Well, let's talk about what his thoughts are concerning Iraq. He was quoted as saying, "I don't think we've come together as a nation and come to terms with the length and duration and expense and commitment it's going to take to meet the threat we have in Islamic terrorism and radicalism," he told a recent audience. Can you flesh that out for me, or has he spoken so little on things that we don't exactly know what he means by that?
I wish I could flesh it out for you. Unfortunately, there's not much there at the moment.
Mm.
The one thing to draw from what Thompson was saying in that statement quoted is that throughout the summer, Thompson's message has not been particularly optimistic. In fact, it's been rather pessimistic. He's been talking about the huge challenges, in his view, facing America. Now, your typical presidential candidate will say, "We have huge challenges facing America, but here's my plan to solve them." And that's certainly what Rudy Giuliani, for example, has been doing, as he goes on the stump throughout the country. He's saying, "You know, we have huge challenges, but I'm committing myself." He has 12 commitments in particular to the American people, and we can tackle these challenges with optimism. Fred actually has been a little bit more dour. He gave a speech to the Midwestern Leadership Conference, a group of Republican activists, recently, where he talked about not only the long war against Islamic terrorism, but also very important in his mind, and not so much, it seems, to the other presidential candidates, the looming, in his view, entitlement crisis with funding for Social Security and Medicare, Medicaid. And unfortunately, that convinces a lot of people that there's a problem, but he doesn't really do the other half, which is convincing people that he's the guy to save and to help solve these problems.
Well, it reminds me of the quote that I used from the Christian Science Monitor to promo this show that was coming up. This next Ronald Reagan has been associated with Fred Thompson as well, and the Monitor was talking about the fact that Republicans are looking for, and I quote, "a sunny conservative whose platform was small government, fiscal restraint, and family values." Are you saying that Fred needs to find the sunny side of the street?
Absolutely. I mean, the comparison with Reagan wears thin the more you look at it, in my view. They're both actors, certainly. They're
mm-hmm.
both good communicators.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question. They're both tall. Fred Thompson is a very tall
guy. He's a tall guy, yeah.
And that's an advantage in any presidential contest. Usually the tallest guy wins. It's a fact.
It's down to that, huh?
Yeah, well, basically, that's how I always determine my predictions. So he has those similarities with Reagan. Unfortunately, the difference is, you know, Ronald Reagan spent a good 50 years honing his ideology and his message before he entered presidential politics. I mean, 50 years is a little bit of an exaggeration, but certainly since working after the Hollywood career, working for GE as a communicator for GE. This is in the 50s. Reagan began honing this pro-business message, this small government message.
Right.
He gave it most famously in 1964 in what was referred to as simply the speech, in which he endorsed Barry Goldwater, a huge moment in Reagan's career and, I think, in the history of America. Fred Thompson isn't associated with that. He's a popular man. He's a clear communicator. But in reality, I mean, he's won two elections in Tennessee, and he hasn't. I don't think he's identified as closely with the conservative movement, even that a Ronald Reagan was.
Mm-hmm. What kind of mark did he leave on the Senate, Matt?
Well, not much. I believe the number of pieces of legislation he sponsored that passed, 4. He played a clear role in many debates as an articulate advocate for conservative principles. He voted for the Iraq War in 2002, right before he left the Senate the next year. He also was an investigator, and he's most famous, of course, for the role he played as minority counsel on the Senate Watergate Committee in the 70s. But as an investigator in the 1990s, he was tasked by Republican leadership to look into possible campaign finance violations in the 1996 election, going mm-hmm. back to John Wong and those Buddhist nuns that everyone
right.
remembers from the 1990s.
Right.
And his report on that actually disappointed a lot of Republicans. They have the feeling that he allowed the committee to get out of control, that he wasn't in control enough, that he didn't respond to Democratic efforts to shift the conversation to the Republican Party effectively enough. He wanted to be as fair and nonpartisan as possible. That, in the Republican view, diluted the impact of the report, the eventual report in 97. So a mixed result as a Senate career, certainly a much more successful career as a lawyer, lobbyist, and actor.
It is remarkable all the careers this guy has had, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a very unusual life.
He has an amazing life story.
Yes.
That's one thing that I think Fred Thompson can bring to the stump. He was the first member of his family to go to college.
Hmm.
In fact, really, to graduate from high school. His parents
really?
Had an eighth grade education,
oh
according
my.
To Newsweek. Yeah. Very humble beginnings. But really, and this is really knocks against the idea that Fred Thompson is lazy. Through hard work, you know, and perseverance, he went to college, he went to law school, and he became a Republican star in Tennessee and nationally. So he does have a remarkable life story, and I think if I were advising the Thompson campaign, I would draw a lot of attention to that as well. Because
right,
right now we have a lot of the three front runners, or rather the three people in the top tier of candidates. There's one front runner, he's Rudy Giuliani. The top three candidates all have very interesting stories. Giuliani with his decades in public life, his celebrity, his role as mayor of New York City, and his role nationally on September 11, 2001. John McCain, the POW, the remarkable courage he showed there, always standing up for his principles. Mitt Romney, even less, they focus less on his personal story than I think that they originally planned to do, but here you have a very extremely intelligent, successful businessman who turned around, to use his terms, the Salt Lake City Olympics in 2002, who was elected the Republican governor of perhaps the bluest state in the country, and had some success there as governor.
Mm-hmm.
So all three have compelling stories, and I think in order to compete, Thompson needs to highlight his personal story as well, but also a fourth candidate, a fifth, when we include Thompson in this mix. Fifth candidate with the great story is Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee, former
right.
Arkansas governor, who literally lost another person, in weight.
Yes.
He lost 110 pounds.
Incredible.
Yeah, and so he has a great story of riding a ship, so to speak. In this case, the ship was his own health.
Would you agree that the story out of the Iowa straw poll was his coming in second?
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's no question. These straw polls receive a lot of attention, but really they're meaningless in many respects. And the Ames straw poll is one of the largest, but the fact that neither Giuliani nor Thompson nor McCain competed really diminished, in my view, its actual meaning in terms of the presidential race. So coming out of that, then, the fact that Mike Huckabee, without spending very much money at all, he was outspent by both Romney, who outspent everybody, and Kansas Senator Sam Brownback. Without spending much money at all, the fact that Huckabee was able to come in second at that straw poll is meaningful without
question. Mm-hmm. If, as Newsweek suggests, he's lazy like a fox, why is the adjective so often associated with Fred Thompson? He's lazy.
I wish I could tell you. Well, it's certainly delaying the announcement doesn't help or doesn't discredit the idea that he tends to put off to tomorrow what he could do today. It's been something that people have always talked about, and thus the media always continue to talk about it, raising these in terms of these questions. The fact is, this summer there has been a lot of tumult within the Thompson organization. He's gone through campaign managers. He's gone through communications directors. There have been questions about the role that his wife plays in the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
To what extent is she the campaign manager even. Not that there's anything wrong with that, of course, but people are asking all these sorts of questions. It seems finally that Thompson has turned to an old friend and ally of his, a man named Bill Lacey, who's come on board and really kind of asserted control over the organization. And the question is whether that will kind of stop the all these losses and internal tumult they've had over these past months and kind of get things prepared for what will be a very intense fall.
Right. Well, this image thing, maybe you can get away with this. We were talking about Thompson as part of a big political conversation yesterday, and it came up that he's wearing, Gucci shoes to the Iowa State Fair and parking his limousine a couple blocks away and then taking the red pickup truck. Are those fair criticisms of him? If he's going to be this down-to-earth, humble-spoken, these are my roots, I'm a humble guy, I first to graduate from high school in my family, that he's got to stick to that and dump the Gucci shoes in the limo?
Well, I guess there's nothing wrong with the Gucci shoes in the limo. God knows I'd like to have them. But I think you raise a very good point, and that is, right now, in my view, voters are looking for an outsider to be president.
Mm-hmm.
Voters look at Washington. They don't like what they see. A president has very low approval ratings. The Congress has even lower approval ratings. So they want an outsider. And I think the strongest knock against Thompson will be that he is actually an insider.
Hmm.
I mean, he lives in McLean, Virginia. That's within the Beltway. They consciously put the campaign headquarters, in fact, in Tyson's Corner, Virginia, which is about as outside the belt, as close to the Beltway as you can get while still being outside the Beltway. Okay, so this is a guy who has strong roots not only in Tennessee and his life there, but also in the lobbying and legal community in Washington, D.C. And right now, lobbyists are not held in the highest regard. As you mentioned, I wrote a book, The K Street Gang, about lobbying crime and the criminal activities of a disgraced Republican lobbyist, Jack Abramoff. We see today that the Republican Party in Congress is racked by scandal, and whether that scandal is criminal or misdemeanor or personal. So I think we saw a hint of the trouble that this association with insiderism and lobbying may pose for Thompson earlier this summer when it was revealed that he had lobbied for an abortion rights group. And the way in which Thompson handled that story, I think, did not bode well for his campaign.
How so?
Well, at first, he still hasn't admitted he actually did this.
Mm.
And at first, it was a blanket denial. Then it was simply he doesn't remember.
Mm.
And the facts are clear that he did make a phone call or two on behalf of this group to lift the restrictions on funding for non-governmental organizations that operate outside the United States borders and promote family planning activities. So it's clear he did this, and yet he still hasn't admitted it. And I don't know if that was the best strategy going forward.
We're going to welcome phone calls. Our guest this hour is Matt Continetti, associate editor of the Weekly Standard, author of Can This Party Be Saved? How Money, Power, and Influence Have Corrupted the GOP. Also author of The K Street Gang, The Rise and Fall of the Republican Machine. Former Senator Fred Thompson will be announcing at midnight on Thursday that he is entering the presidential race. He's already running second in the polls, even though he hasn't announced. We're trying to get a better understanding of who he is, how he'll campaign, if he is a savior, if he is a new Ronald Reagan, what his positions have been on issues, what he's likely to campaign on, all of that, and welcoming your phone calls. Did I give you the number? 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Milwaukee area callers 414-227-2050. 414-227-2050. We have some lines open, so take them and let's talk. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up the second hour of our program, Ira Flatow will be with us, the host and also the executive producer of Talk of the Nation Science Friday. We'll be looking at his book, which is really interesting, Present at the Future, From Evolution to Nanotechnology, Candid and Controversial Conversations on Science and Nature. Fred Thompson entering the presidential race tonight at midnight it's tomorrow at midnight. I couldn't figure out what it was. Tomorrow would be midnight. Yeah, it's tomorrow, Thursday at midnight. And we're talking about his candidacy and the Republican field as well. Field, where are you today? Everybody's quiet. Come on, call us. Let's talk about all of this. 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, it's 227-2050. And we'll start our calls with Jerry from Milwaukee. Hi, Jerry.
Good morning.
Morning.
One word for Fred Thompson, union buster. And it's really unfortunate because he shares his name with one of the greatest trade unionists, Fred Thompson, who for years wrote a column in the IWW monthly newspaper called Labor in North America. And the Wall Street Journal, when they used to run a labor column on Tuesday, used to crib just about the entire column from Fred's column. And he had a 82.3% wrong COPE voting record during his abbreviated career in the United States Senate. And I know people are going to bring up the fact that he was a lobbyist for the Teamsters, but that was only on one very narrow issue that pertained to the Teamster master contract. His entire career is just steeped in union busting and union hating. I think that we're pretty well organized in organized labor in 2007, 2008, what's ever left of us, to counteract this. And I think he's going to have a very rough time.
Matt?
Well, the one thing to remember in terms of Senator Thompson's record on labor issues is that labor isn't that much of a force in the Republican presidential nomination process. And while there could be a liability going into a general election should Senator Thompson win the Republican nomination, I'm not sure his record on labor will be an issue during the primaries.
Yeah. What about his other lobby work? I don't think we have a full understanding of who he has represented. The list hasn't really come out yet, has it, Matt? Or has it, and I've missed it somehow?
Well, no, it hasn't fully come out yet. And there is a lot of individual lobbying he did. Overall, I mean, it's a mixed group. And Thompson will say that you have to distinguish between the lobbyist and the clients he represents, or the way he puts it is between a lawyer and the clients that lawyer represents. Now, I think there's a difference between a lawyer who takes on a case and a lobbyist who has a client paying him. I think it is proper to identify a lobbyist with the interests of the client, as opposed to a lawyer who, you know, could be doing pro bono work, could be doing really anything. That's a distinction, some would say, without a difference. I think there's a difference there. Thompson would hope that people don't ask many questions. You know, in 1994, when he ran and first won in the special election, Thompson was attacked as a Washington insider, as in some of the same things we hear now about wearing, you know, luxury items and such, and having a very wealthy life in Washington, D.C. And he still won by 20 points. And Thompson will always remind people of that. So there's a difference. And certainly Fred's own style. He's a very laid-back person. He's, very casual style, good old boy type personality, very friendly, open. People, I think, may respond to that, the style, instead of looking at his record as a lobbyist.
Mm-hmm. Well, can you do that? This is a media age. This is an age where we say we want to go have a beer with a candidate down at the corner bar. Does he fit the bill there, and is that the bill that we're voting for still?
I think fundamentally it comes down to what a candidate is saying and whether that appeals to voters. And so it's less what the media is making an issue out of than more about how voters respond to an individual candidate. Now, I will say this. Thompson's style so far, and we really haven't seen Thompson active on the trail,
right.
But what we know of Thompson's style, the laid-back charm, is very different from the current frontrunner's political style.
Right.
I mean, Giuliani's
right.
politics is the politics of confrontation,
mm-hmm.
and he'll go on about this, actually, talking to him or even in his book, Leadership. Giuliani believes the only way to produce results is to create conflict, that you have to take on and confront all types in order to kind of realize an issue and build support for your views on it. And so you watch Giuliani on the trail, as I have quite a bit, and he doesn't back down from questioners. Typical politicians will try to win votes. Giuliani doesn't really, he doesn't really pander. And so I think that you have a very interesting contrast in the two styles of these politicians that I think will really be drawn out once they get on the same stage together at the end.
Oh, yeah, what a difference. And yet some kind of similarities in their backgrounds, Giuliani having this fairly humble beginning as well, right?
A middle-class background in Brooklyn. I think a slightly less humble beginning than Fred Thompson, but certainly Giuliani is a striver. There's no question about that, and who achieved great things in his professional life even before he entered politics and running for mayor in 1989, a race which he lost, and then to come back in 93, win that race, win in 97 overwhelmingly, and then the events of 2001. So, yeah, both interesting stories. There's no question about that. I mean, but the cliche has been that Republicans are dissatisfied with their field of candidates. And while for various reasons you can pick at the flaws of any one of these top candidates, in the final analysis they are rather strong, even in general election terms, because each of them in varying ways appeals across the electorate, across the broad electorate, even though Giuliani appears to be the only one who consistently beats Democrats in these generic ballots.
Right. We were having that conversation in my house yesterday. My husband's saying that Giuliani really is the, and I want to toss this off with you, that Giuliani stands the best chance of winning the general election because he would take states in the Northeast and he would take states in the Midwest as well. And I mean, he thinks, my husband thinks, that he would wallop the Democratic candidate if it's Hillary Clinton.
Well, your husband is thinking exactly like the people inside the Giuliani campaign who are making a conscious effort to get out that message that Giuliani is the most competitive candidate in a general election.
Do you think he is?
Yes. I don't think he's guaranteed to win by any means, but I believe he is. The polls show it, for one thing.
Right.
And for another thing, the types of voters who might appeal to Giuliani in California, in New Jersey, in Pennsylvania, in the Pacific Northwest, and in some places in the upper Midwest, those are types of voters who haven't gone Republican recently.
Right.
They've been turned off about various aspects of the Republican Party agenda. And Giuliani, since he's moderate on social issues, can still make an appeal to those voters with his really harsh stance on the better word is aggressive stance on international terrorism and his really free market views on the economy. So there would be one of the most interesting things about Giuliani becoming the Republican nominee is there would be, I think, a realignment in our politics that may or may not be limited just to him as a candidate because he's such an unusual man. But it would really spell for an interesting presidential race.
Yes, it would. Well, thanks, Jerry, for the call. We go to Dave from Wisconsin Rapids. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Kathleen, and good morning to your guest. I'm sorry I didn't catch his name.
Matt Continetti.
Well, I see him on Chris Matthews now. First, a little note about the comment you made about having a beer, someone to have a beer with, and that was, of course, one of the terms of President Bush before the election, and I thought that would be kind of neat to go out and have a beer with the president. But as it turns out, I have friends that I go out and have beers with now and then who I think may have done a better job than George Bush as president. But now to get to Mr. Thompson, this has been quite a dance to watch him gradually kind of almost morphing into the race. But I read some things, and I've heard it on talk shows, that perhaps it may have even been Chris Matthews or one of those, where when Fred Thompson was counsel to the Republicans on the Judiciary Committee back during the Watergate hearings and the subsequent impeachment fight, that he was carrying information back to the White House through back channels so that they would know what was coming. He was kind of tipping them off and kind of playing playing both sides of the fence. And I'm wondering if Matt, if you've heard or read anything about that or know anything about that. That indicates to me someone whose ethics are less than stellar.
I have read those stories, and those are clear reports, and I think they would be an issue, in a general election context, without question. One of my favorite things, you know, I'd recommend all the listeners to read this Newsweek cover story this week on Fred Thompson. It's a really good story and well reported. And one thing I learned from it was Nixon's reaction upon hearing that Fred Thompson was going to be named minority counsel to the Watergate Committee. He actually, in typical Nixon fashion, cursed. And then he said, that guy, you know, he's not very smart. And I paraphrased. And it's funny that Richard Nixon, who definitely had a high opinion of his own intellect, but who was, for all of his many faults, a very intelligent man, thought this of Fred Thompson. That might, you know, any of Fred Thompson's opponents may want to make that make a little, you know, 10-second YouTube of that comment. I'm sure it's somewhere on the Nixon tapes. But the question is, you know, will people look at the back channel information Thompson provided to the Nixon White House, or will they look at, you know, his most famous moment prior to his Hollywood career, which was asking, I believe, Butterfield about the existence of a, or Dean, one of them, about the existence of a recording system inside the White House, and that was really that blew the door open. He already knew the answer, of course, that there were secret tapes.
And, oh, interesting.
And that blew the door open. But it was Fred Thompson who asked that question. I'm sure that will be definitely on a pro-Thompson ad somewhere. And that question, the larger issue for me, when we always talk about candidates' histories, is whether those histories are determinative in a person's vote. I tend to be skeptical of that. I think American voters, are very forward-looking, and they've relied less on things that happened 30 years ago and more about what a person is saying about tomorrow.
Thanks very much for the call, Dave. We have some lines open. Join us. We're talking about Fred Thompson and a little bit about the Republican presidential field as well. Fred Thompson going to announce he's in the race. This is going to be a webcast at midnight on Thursday, and he will be on the Jay Leno show tonight as well. Is he the guy? Is this the person that Republicans are going to say, this is our candidate? We're talking to Matt Continetti this hour, who's associate editor of the Weekly Standard and author of Can This Party Be Saved? How Money, Power, and Influence Have Corrupted the GOP. He's also the author of The K Street Gang, The Rise and Fall of the Republican Machine. A couple lines are open. 800-486-8655 is the number, and we go to Marty from Douglas County next. Hi, Marty.
Hi, good morning. Say, this is all very well and good. It's interesting to hear all these stories about Fred Thompson, but when are we going to talk about what he wants to do? What's he going to do about the war? What is he going to do about global warming? Health care. It's just getting increasingly frustrating. And I don't mean any disrespect to you, Kathleen, or your guest at all, but it's increasingly frustrating to be talking about any of these candidates simply in terms of where they are, what position they are in the race, and how they're going to maneuver themselves and whatever. We want to know. I'm one of these voters who is thinking about the future. I want to know what the candidates are going to do about these grave issues that all of us are facing out here.
Yeah. But I think part of the story here, Marty, is that we don't really know that much about Fred Thompson. And part of the story is that he's number two in the polls, even though we don't know that much about him, which is a story.
Exactly. It is a story. And it says more about I don't know actually what that says more about. If it says more about the reporting that's being done in terms, as I said, of the race only, or when are we going to start shifting gears and start asking, what is Fred Thompson going to do for us?
Mm-hmm. All right, Matt?
Well, I think a lot of people are already asking that, and they're going to definitely be asking that once he officially enters the race. I think we could, if the discussion was different, we could discuss the policy ideas of Mayor Giuliani, who has made a concerted effort this summer to roll out his 12 commitments, as he calls them, to the American people, which are a host of policy ideas about going forward. Mitt Romney has also spent a lot of the summer outlining his ideas on health care in particular. And then John McCain, of course, he hasn't done as much of the policy kind of rollouts as the other two candidates, but we pretty much know where he stands on the great issues of national security, the war in Iraq, the war in Afghanistan, and the treatment of detainees from the battlefield. So that's a conversation definitely that the candidates themselves would like to have, because they do have these policies and they do want to talk about these policies. Now, I remember in our last presidential cycle, a candidate who's very similar to Fred Thompson, and this is General Wesley Clark. And Clark actually entered the race a little bit later than Thompson will have in the cycle. He entered toward the end of September. Thompson is entering now on the first week of September. But this is a huge problem for Clark, too, is that he got in because his biography seemed to check all the boxes. Here was the former Supreme Commander of NATO. He had led NATO in a bloodless war in terms of NATO casualties against Slobodan Milosevic in 1999. He was just the candidate, it was said, to have a strong national security credentials to take on George W. Bush. But what we found out was that since Clark had never run for office before, he wasn't the most effective retail politician, and beyond that, he hadn't spent all this time getting staff, listening to advisors, having policy briefings, and formulating what his agenda is. And I think that's the strongest similarity. Fred Thompson's he's a good politician. He's been out of the game for a while, but there's no question that he'll be able to get back to it pretty quickly. But the question for me is, what is his agenda? And yeah. That's is one reason why Thompson made a decision not to enter this debate tonight in New Hampshire. It's because he knows that he doesn't really have an agenda at this point, and he would be attacked on all sides for it. So the question is, can he come up with a kind of a compelling agenda in the 3 weeks before the next debate? And that's the big question. But I agree with the caller. I mean, we really ought to be talking about the policies. I think what we find, though, just as a small note, we find is once the election shifts to the general election, once we have two nominees, that's when the policy aspect of all this really does come out,
right?
Because there are clear differences between the Republican and Democratic Party on almost any issue.
And there have already been a lot of debates, Matt. Both the Republicans and the Democratic candidates have laid out positions on a lot of issues. There is some substance here. I think that the focus of this hour is a guy we don't know very much about, and I still want to ask the question, why is he number two in the polls when we don't know his positions? Is it the star quality? Is it the... What the heck is it? Is it dissatisfaction with the other candidates because they're not conservative enough, or they're not an inheritor of the Ronald Reagan legacy, or what is it?
Well, I think it's a little of both. And Law and Order is one of the most played, if not the most played, program on television.
Really?
People see Fred Thompson every day, sometimes twice a day on their
TV
screen.
He's on twice a day, is he?
Yeah, and TNT will continue to be played. This is just... decision TNT made, Law and Order, rather, will continue to be played throughout this campaign cycle. So he's guaranteed daily exposure, more or less, on syndicated cable.
Hmm.
So people know who Fred Thompson is. I mean, they've seen the movies, and they're great movies. And on top of that, I think you're right to point out, too, there are voters who are leery about the candidates running. They're leery about Giuliani because there's a sense that he's not really one of them.
Mm-hmm.
They're leery of McCain because McCain went to war against the conservatives, really, after losing the nomination in 2000. They're leery of Mitt Romney because his flip-flops on the social issues speak to kind of a political calculation that some people find unnerving. So there you have those top three. They're the ones who've raised the most money. They get the most media. But they all have certain liabilities in terms of the conservative base.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why people are going to check that other box for Fred Thompson, who, as the Thompson campaign has said, will talk about him being conservative, also a consistent one, and a clear conservative, which would kind of deal with all of those issues, they hope, in terms of the other candidates.
Yeah. Well, Marty, thanks for the call.
Yeah, thanks you. Thank you, too.
Yeah. Let's go next to – oh, and we got to pause. Then we'll return. 800-486-8655-227-2050 if you're joining us in Milwaukee. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Second hour of our program today, we're happy to have Ira Flatow with us. Ira has a new book, Present at the Future – From Evolution to Nanotechnology, Candid and Controversial Conversations on Science and Nature. He looks at just all kinds of issues, what's going on in our brains. He looks at sleep. Why do we sleep? Why do we need to sleep? We'll talk about aging and the brain and music in the brain and why we can remember songs. People with Alzheimer's sometimes respond phenomenally to music when they can't remember much else. We'll look at addiction. We'll talk about cosmology, energy. He writes about that, nanotechnology, and on it goes. Ira Flatow with us after the news and the hour. Matt Continetti is here. Continetti is with us now, associate editor of the Weekly Standard, and we're talking about Fred Thompson and the Republican field this hour of the program. And let's go to Rob next from Green Bay. Hi, Rob.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure, Rob.
I just have three pillars that I think are essential for a great presidential candidate, and I was just going to comment on those three and see what your guest thought that maybe Senator Thompson is gauged with each of the three. One is that a presidential candidate in this next election really requires a clear honesty throughout their careers and with the voters. Second is that they appear to that they're going to prioritize the needs of the nation instead of their party politics. And third, there's a great need for a president to come into that Oval Office that's going to unite the nation as a leader in order to get done what needs to get done, and especially in the way of that there are people out there that want to harm our nation and our health care system and the economy. And then I'll take my comments off the air. Thanks.
Thank you, Rob, for the call.
Well, that sounds like a reasonable criteria by which to judge any of the candidates. I don't believe Fred Thompson has ever been, I don't believe there's evidence to suggest Fred Thompson has ever been dishonest to the voters. He is an honest guy. He's a straight talker. I mean, he has a reputation for that. Remember that Fred Thompson was one of the few Republican senators to support John McCain's run for the presidency in 2000. And that's why, in many ways, McCain should be the hardest hit by Thompson's entry into the race, because he had relied so much on Thompson's support. And I do think Thompson, again, speaking to kind of a stylistic issue that we discussed earlier, I think Thompson is not as polarizing a personality as, say, Hillary Clinton or a Rudy Giuliani, both of whom are strongly polarizing. People have definite views of both individuals, and again, in terms of Giuliani's own view of politics and how it ought to operate, Giuliani actually flourishes in polarized environments. There's a great chance, as the caller suggests, that people don't want that polarity anymore after George Bush and the Democratic response to George Bush, and so they may turn to candidates like Barack Obama or Senator Thompson, who are outside of that polarization, who want to bring people together. Now, at the end of the day, will that happen? I'm a little bit less sure, because I think what I call polarization, these deep antagonisms in our politics, those are broader than any individual or group of individuals. These are deep-seated social changes that have happened in our politics that create that. But I think Thompson does a pretty, my own judgment, of course, take it or leave it, seems like he fits, reasonably within those three parameters that the caller laid out.
Thanks so much for the call. We go to Chris from West Dallas next. Hi, Chris.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I have two separate parts of this. But, yeah, the first one is I think Fred Thompson does have a good shot of getting the nomination because of the fact that he is a very polished candidate and he has the Hollywood experience and the TV experience. But I was wondering what your guest thought about the fact that with his quarter two fundraising, it was pretty far below what it was expected for Fred Thompson. So it's not really showing that he's really rallying the base or exciting the supporters like people thought he was going to. And I was wondering what your guest thought about how that might affect him or how it projects his expectations.
Sure. I mean, money plays a role in politics. There's no question about that. And it's also a good gauge of support. Thompson, one could argue that delaying his entry into the race hurt Thompson in a financial sense. He did not raise as much money in the summer as the campaign hoped. It's unlikely they're going to raise as much money by the end of the third quarter on September 30th as they would like. Now, can candidates still win without raising the most money? Absolutely. Look at what Huckabee did by getting into second place there in Ames, Iowa, as we were discussing. But is Thompson going to have to climb an climb uphill against Giuliani, who has raised the most from individual contributors in the second quarter and is likely to do so in the third quarter? Or, again, Mitt Romney, who is worth more than $100 million and who has already spent close to $10 million on
his
campaign.
Wow. Isn't that something?
And he can write his, you know, and so the question is, Romney will be able to write checks not only throughout the rest of 2007, but also right before important contests in 2008 really blanket that media space in a way that even Giuliani, who will have plenty of money on hand to fight this out, will challenge Giuliani. So if it challenges Giuliani, it will certainly challenge Fred Thompson.
Okay. And also, I was wondering, maybe as like more of an insider than I am for politics, even though I follow it, how do you determine, or how does the political insiders from, you know, the media determine who the front runners really are? Because I still hear about McCain and I hear about Huckabee, but McCain hasn't placed well in any straw poll yet. And I know he's behind money. He's behind Ron Paul. I mean, Ron Paul's number four in the cash, and he's placed higher in straw polls than, you know, a lot of these candidates multiple times. So I just want to know how McCain is still mentioned in the same breath as these other candidates when he doesn't have the money, he doesn't have any of the on-the-ground support. Why people don't mention these other candidates like, you know, like Ron Paul or even Duncan Hunter, who just won the Texas straw poll. It seems like we're constantly pushed with, you know, Giuliani and Romney when, you know, as a conservative, they don't look anything like a Republican or a conservative to me except in name, especially Giuliani.
Matt.
Yeah, well, I have a very simple determination in looking at who the front runner is, and that's who's ahead in the national polls. And Giuliani has consistently been in the head of the national polls since 2006. He had a slight decline over the summer. He's now righted that decline, and he's at 30% support nationally. If you look at the front runners in individual primary states, Romney is clearly the front runner in Iowa and New Hampshire. He is not the front. Giuliani is leading in South Carolina, Florida. It's mixed bag in Michigan, where the polling is very uncertain. So polling helps us judge who the front runner is. Money helps us judge who the front runner is. Romney has raised the most money, a lot of that coming from himself. Giuliani has raised the most in the second and probably in the third quarters from individual contributors. And the reason that John McCain is still included in that top list of top contenders is that you have to remember that around this time in the cycle in 2003, John Kerry was limited to about 9% in the polls nationally, and he still came on to win. Now, what does that mean? That means that McCain still has a chance to win because people know who he is. Yeah, he's a proven leader. He has an incredible story. And also means Romney, who hasn't been doing that well in those polls nationally, is in a strong position. And for that matter, I even think that there's a route that we can see Mike Huckabee win the Iowa caucuses in January. So those are kind of polling and money are kind of the criteria by which you judge the front runner, which is just a designation in the horse race. It's nothing more.
Yeah. Thanks for the call. Ron is next from La Crosse. Hi, Ron.
Yes, I think discuss these Republican candidates. I see them in these debates. Well, you know, it kind of reminds me they're all running to be captain of the Titanic. As far as I'm concerned, it doesn't matter who gets the Republican nomination. I don't think they're going to elect the 44th president.
Any Democrat would win, you're saying?
Yes,
I don't
think so.
Matt, what do you think?
Well, I think certainly as politics stand today, the Democrat would win the presidential race. But the future in politics is never a straight-line projection of the present. Now, often times people assume that the current state of things is going to play out for the next, 14 months, and that's just never the case. Things are always changing in society, and since politics is a reflection of our society, they change in our politics as well. So I believe there's no reason for the Republicans to concede the 2008 election to the Democrats at this point, even though it is, like I say, an uphill battle.
So how should Fred Thompson be playing his Jay Leno appearance tonight?
Well, he'll be Fred Thompson. He's already appeared once this year on Jay Leno. He'll be relaxed. He'll be charming. He'll be funny. He'll crack a joke or two, and he'll announce. In fact, what's funny is it may actually be slightly anticlimactic. You know, the Thompson people want to be like Arnold Schwarzenegger, who announced that he was going to run for governor of California in October 2003, or late September 2003, during that recall fight on The Tonight Show, and it caused a huge surge in the polls. Of course, Schwarzenegger went on to win by a large margin. But Thompson, it seems that they've had this weird way in which they're going to use the appearance on The Tonight Show to direct people to their website tomorrow.
Right.
So they won't really announce, and that might be slightly anticlimactic.
Yeah. Thank you, Matt, so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Matthew Continetti, he's associate editor of the Weekly Standard, author of Can This Party Be Saved? How Money, Power, and Influence Have Corrupted the GOP, and also author of The K Street Gang, The Rise and Fall of the Republican Machine. Thanks to Rita Thomas for producing this hour, and to John Treader, who's put in a lot of hours this week. Thank you, John Treader, for on-air production, and thanks for all of your interesting calls. News ahead from National Public Radio. And then we'll return. So stay with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.